When the Jews accused Jesus of making himself God, what was his answer? That's our lesson today here on the Radio Bible Course, and we invite you to turn to John chapter 10. Our lesson today begins with verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again, they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. One time before in this Gospel of John, in chapter 5, the Jews wanted to stone him because he made himself equal with God and claimed that God was his own Father. Here, they want to stone him, they say, because he's blaspheming, because he, being a man, made himself God. Well, Jesus' answer is from the Old Testament. Is it not written in your law? And he quotes from that law, "I said, you are gods." He's quoting here from Psalm 82, 6 and 7. And notice he calls it their law. But that wasn't a part of Moses' law. Oftentimes in the New Testament, the Old Testament is referred to as the law of God, even though the Old Testament is made up of the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. But it all had authority, and that's what the word law refers to here. It was all from God. Now listen to the reading from Psalm 82, verses 6 and 7. "I say, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you shall die like men." Well, what a statement. But we need to go back to the beginning of that psalm, and it becomes clear who the gods are. It says, God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. And he says to those in that council, "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?" Who are these gods? They are the leaders and judges of Israel, who had God's word and were commanded to rule for the benefit of the people. Their objective was to care for God's people and to secure the people's safety. They had been given great authority by God to rule according to his holy word, and for that reason, he called them gods. That authority extended even to the taking of the life of a person according to the word of God. Now that is great authority. So God says to them, "You are gods." Why? Because you have the word of God. Now that is what Jesus referred to in this paragraph. There were mere men back there in the Old Testament who had the word of God, and God called them gods. Now Jesus said, "Do you get upset because the one whom God has sent, not a man like those people were? They were humans. He was born of a spirit. He's different." And Jesus said, "You say about me that I am blaspheming because I claim to be the Son of God? You never complained about the Old Testament scriptures calling men gods, but now you are upset because I refer to myself as the Son of God, and I am much different than they were." You see, Jesus could claim that God sent him, but God did not send them. And God set him apart. That's the meaning of sanctify. There is no other person in the world who was ever like Jesus, nor will there ever be. He is unique. And he has a right to call himself the Son of God. Now, the power those people were given in the Old Testament to judge Israel was awesome. And that power was God-given. God has established government. He cherishes order in society. And he refers to officials as his servants. Did you know that tax collectors are called ministers of God? That means servants. That's what the word minister means. Listen to Romans 13:6. For the same reason, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are all, what? Ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay all of them their dues. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. We can see from that passage that God loves order in the society, and he supports government. Anytime you cause disorder, you are displeasing God, no matter what your cause is. Keep that in mind. Especially when you are displeased with a decision from the president or the Supreme Court. You aren't asked to always agree, but you are asked to submit to government. Now consider this. To whom did Paul write this? He wrote it to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. And what kind of government was ruling over them? The evil Roman Empire. But that empire brought order. And if you have order, rejoice, because you can propagate the gospel. And you have protection by the law of the land, even though you don't like the government. Christians are told to keep the peace. Paul also wrote in this chapter, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. He who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Authorities, therefore, represent God in maintaining order. So don't do anything to create disorder. Now, returning to the text in John chapter 10, what's the reasoning of Jesus here? If the Father calls those ruling officials gods, how is it you want to stone me for referring to myself as the Son of God? He's got a great argument here. Now I call your attention to the parenthetical statement in verse 35. It says, and Scripture cannot be broken. It is indestructible, regardless of what any liberal theologian in the last century has written or said. The Old Testament, which we have, is not different from the first century Old Testament to which Jesus referred. It is the revelation of God in written form. He said it was the law of God, with full authority. Jesus called the Old Testament Scripture. It is the revelation of God in written form. It is inspired, inerrant, and authoritative. Jesus said David, who wrote the Psalms, was inspired by the Spirit. And he said nothing in the law would fail until all was fulfilled. Why? Because Scripture cannot be broken. What God has said will come to pass. I call your attention to what Jesus said after he talked about the coming tribulation and the terrible things that lie ahead for Israel. It's in Matthew 24, verse 34. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And what were the words that Jesus spoke? They were none other, he said, than the words which the Father gave him to speak. In other words, he was not speaking on his own. It was not by his own initiative that he ever said anything to anybody. He was a spokesman for God, and on that basis alone, he had a right to be called the Son of God, just like those men in the Old Testament who had the Word of God were called gods. But Jesus, of course, has a greater right than that. He was born of a virgin. He came from heaven. He is deity. He was in the beginning with God, and he made all things. Jesus is unique. You and I have the Word of God, too, but that doesn't give us a right to be called sons of God like Jesus was a son of God. He was different. Oh, we are honored by being called children of God because we are born of the Spirit when we believe in Jesus Christ. God makes children of God among men who hear the Word of God and believe it. Jesus said in John 10:35 that the Scripture cannot be broken, meaning that it was eternally established and trustworthy. Not everyone agrees with Jesus. There are many who disagree with him today, and they are leaders in our churches. They say some of the Old Testament is mythological or historically inaccurate. They say man was not made by God, but came about as a result of evolution. Jesus, however, believed the Genesis account. He believed the creation story, and he also believed that Moses wrote it. He believed in the Adam and Eve story, he believed in the flood, and he believed in the Cain and Abel story. Now, in regard to Moses' authorship of those first five books of the Old Testament, which both the Old and the New Testament attest to, I know an ordained professor at a mainline theological seminary, who was at one time at LSU, who said, "Yes, Jesus did believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament." But then he added, "Jesus was wrong." Think about the ramifications of that kind of a position. If Jesus could be wrong about the Old Testament, could he be wrong about God the Father's love for us? Could he also be wrong about life eternal and judgment and a host of other things on which he spoke? If Jesus were wrong about the Scriptures, is he trustworthy? The Jesus of the Bible, however, is God in the flesh. He is fully God and fully man. Can God be wrong about anything? Now, I want our listeners to be aware of this fact. Not many Christians are really Christians. They don't believe the Word of God. Now, we want to move on to verses 37 and 38. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. He wants these Jews to believe and to get eternal life, but until they do, he suggests an alternative. Believe the works, at least. If they will respect and consider his works, they would conclude that surely they are of the Father, and then they would believe in the unity of the Father and the Son, and that belief would bring them salvation. Now, the final paragraph of John chapter 10 has the people concluding, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, because they saw the signs." And it says, "Many believed in him there." In tomorrow's lesson, we'll begin with chapter 11. I hope you'll join us. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.